The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet from the snare. I love that passage. It's from Psalm chapter 25, verses 14 and 15. Hey, friend, how are you? Happy Thursday. It is so good to be here with you today, be sitting in this chair, talking behind this microphone. I love my job. This is so neat. Friend, it is, of course, Thursday, October the 18th, 2012. And yeah, encouraging passage from Psalm 25 today. So my question for you, are your eyes on the Lord? That's a question for you to be thinking about. Do I focus on the Lord as much as I should? Me? Man, I would love to say yes, but I would be lying. I think that's something that we all can improve in right there. Just keep our eyes on Jesus with every step that we take and not focus on those physical things, those things that might get in the way of our relationship. It's so easy to get caught up in that, right? Yeah, so, yeah, hope you're doing well. It is so good, like I mentioned, to be here. I had a wonderful weekend. It was great. I had a chance to really go down to Atlanta, Georgia this past week. Past weekend, I went down there, really enjoyed. It was just more of a spiritual weekend for me, spiritual retreat, just kind of get out and change of the environment, change of pace, kind of not necessarily worry about responsibilities as much. So that was nice. Blessed weekend. Had a chance to visit Dr. Charles Stanley's church. I think that's like my fifth time visiting his church. Great, mighty man of God. So preached a great message on how to pray for our president. Yeah, what a relevant message for this day and age. Amen. Yeah. So regardless, I do pray that you are enjoying your week. If you're looking for something fun or interesting to do, there is going to be a special Taste of Israel Q&A tomorrow night in Mahomet. So if you've ever wanted to visit Israel, walk where Jesus walked, or see some of those landmarks that we read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, well, tomorrow is going to be a great opportunity for you to enjoy a Taste of Israel Q&A, which will talk about a little bit what a trip will look like to Israel that we're planning for 2013, and just kind of enjoy some fellowship and talk with other believers that are interested in visiting Israel. So this is a great opportunity to do that. It's going to be a Mahomet tomorrow night. You do need to RSVP ASAP. Yeah, you do need to reserve your spot. It's for tomorrow night by calling us 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Or you can find out more about it at our website, greatnewsradio.org. There was this young man who wrote a love letter to his love. He says, "Dear love, I can't even start to say how much I love you. Webster ran out of words in the human dictionary when it comes to putting into words how much I love you. There is no mountain high enough that I won't climb to let you know my love for you." He goes on to say, "There is no river deep enough that I won't swim to let you know how much I love you. My love reaches to a different galaxy for you that not even the number of stars can compare how much I love you." Then he ends and concludes this message by saying, "I will see you on Saturday if it doesn't rain." Most people can conclude that this young man is a lot of talk. A lot of talk. And it started off really well, but didn't really end it very well at all. A lot of talk. And often, some Christians are a lot of talk. We love to use our Christianese words. We know the right words to say at the right times, but it comes from an empty heart. Today, friend, we're going to focus on the Church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. And my question for you today, have you left your first love? So if you have your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 2. And John is writing to the church of Ephesus. He says, it starts off in verse 2 of chapter 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. John writes to a glorious church. This church sounds like it's awesome. He says, I know your deeds. They're a serving church. They were busy. All the members were involved in spiritual, religious activities. They weren't on the sidelines. No, they weren't just coming to church on Sunday and on Wednesday. They were actually serving the people around them. It says, I know your deeds. They were a busy church. They just weren't sitting on the sidelines. They were involved in the game and getting their hands dirty, and they're rolling up their sleeves and actually doing something for the kingdom of God. If you're a member of that type of church, that's awesome. Way to go. We need more churches like that. He also says, I know your hard work. I know your deeds and I know your hard work. They made sure they put their best foot forward. They just didn't want to put their half effort in. They want to put everything in. They want to make sure everything was in line. They wanted to make sure that everything was best. They put their blood, sweat, and tears into what they were doing. So John says, I know your deeds. I know your hard work. And he also goes on to say that I know your perseverance. See, they don't give up easily. This church at Ephesus, they didn't give up easily. They had perseverance. John even mentions that here in Revelation chapter 2. They don't give up when things get tough. I think some people today, in churches today, they struggle with perseverance because when something goes wrong in their church, they're the first ones to leave and they're out church shopping again. You know, there's this one joke. There was a woman who got stranded on an island, and 25 years later they found her and so forth. And she had built three little huts on this abandoned island that she was on. And the reporters were asking her, well, young lady, so tell me about these three huts that you created. She says, well, this first hut was my home. And I lived in there and I did all of that stuff. And, you know, that was the first hut. And she said, well, the second hut, this was my church. This is where I worshiped the Lord. I made sure that I was in church. I mean, even though I was far away from family, this was my church. And then the reporter said, what about that third hut? Well, the woman says, well, that's just my old church. I don't talk about that anymore. See? That's how people are sometimes. They go church hopping, and sometimes it's necessary. God calls you out of a small body of believers there. But sometimes there are people who leave for all the wrong reasons. And John says, no, this church right here, this was a church that had perseverance. It also goes on to say that you cannot tolerate wicked people. They had spiritual metal detectors at the door of their church so that if anybody wanted to be a member of their church, they made sure that everything was in line. Every theological T was crossed and every theological I was dotted. They made sure that they were a true believer of the Lord Jesus before they became a member of that church. It was a separated church. They made sure that they were separated from the world. They dotted every theological I and crossed every theological T. Man, this sounds like a great church so far, don't it? Then also goes on to say that it was a suffering church. Verse 3 of Revelation chapter 2, it says, you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. They went through hardships in Jesus' name. That's what it says. So this was a church that could not tolerate wicked people. It was a church that persevered even through the tough times. This was a church that had hard work. This church had some great deeds. However, in verse 4, it says, but. Watch out when God says but. It says, but I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You had left your first love. In other words, you walked out. You left. You detoured somewhere around there. You left your first love. The first love was always there, but you left it in the midst of all these great things. You left. Think about when you were first married. Think about that for a second. Remember, gentlemen, how you made sure that your wife, when you were first married, you made sure that she felt special. Woo-woo. You just loved her. You went to work for her, and you came home knowing that your wife was waiting for you at home. You were excited. Now, you go to work just to have that distance between you and your wife. Women, remember when you used to cook for your husband? Even though you didn't know how to cook at the time, you made sure you cooked for your husband. Now, he's probably lucky just to get a TV dinner, you know, but no, all kidding aside, just kidding on all that. But think about when you were first married. There's a difference between when you were first married and to where you are today. For most people, we get so caught up in having to pay the bills and having to make sure the grandkids are over or making sure the kids are off of school and getting so caught up in the stuff, forgetting that you live with your best friend. Sometimes you and I get caught up in secondary stuff, third stuff, fourth type of stuff, and forget about our main purpose. Our main purpose gets so caught up in the works, so caught up in everything else that we forget about our own relationship with God. It's extremely easy. And friend, and I say this today not to talk at you. I'm here to share with you. I struggle with this myself. You miss that joy that you had as a Christian when you first got saved, when you first became a believer of the Lord Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Working for the Lord and doing all this ministry for God, that's awesome. Don't you dare stop that. But once it replaces your relationship with God, that's where it's an issue. Because it's so easy to get caught up into being that Sunday school teacher. And the only time reading the Bible is to teach your Sunday school class, but you're not reading it for yourself or having that alone time. That's where that's an issue. So how do we get back? How do we get that joy back? Verse 5 tells us, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. In other words, we need to remember. Remember that relationship that you had with God? Remember how intimate it was when you first got saved? And it calls us to repent as well. Repent, wow. Last I heard, when somebody repents is when they sin. So therefore, if we forsake our relationship with God, then that implies it's a sin. We need to repent. We need to go north if we've been going south. We need to have that change of direction. That's spending time with Him. That's having that love conversation with Him. That's getting into the Word of God and getting to know Him and pursue Him. And you're thinking right now, like, I can't do that right now. I have a busy schedule. Then that means you're not putting Him first in your life. If you got time to chat with friends and hang out with people and have lunch and dinner with this person, you got time to be spending time with God. And it says, repent. Repent. Tells you to get off at the next exit. Get off at the next exit at confession exit. Just confess those things that you know that you've been forgetting to do or not doing for God, or the things that you have been doing for God that replaced things in your walk with Him. And then head on over to Grace Overpass, because, you know, the Bible says if you confess, you repent, He's faithful and forgiving your sins. And then after you get off at confession exit, after you go over Grace Overpass, you need to get on Restoration On Ramp. Oh yes, our God is a God of restoration, big time. A God of reconciliation. Our God is a God of restoration. And when you get off at confession exit and head on over Grace Overpass and you get on Restoration On Ramp, guess what? You're headed back home. You are headed back home. So brother, sister, I just encourage you just to examine your heart. Say, God, have I forsaken you? Have I placed my relationship with you somewhere where it not ought to be? Then if you're struggling today, I just encourage you to spend some time with the Lord and say, God, I lost my joy in my relationship with you. Help me get it back. help me get it back. And that may include you taking a break from ministry stuff so that you can be ministered to. Is your faithfulness, oh Lord, I love that song. That's Fernando Ortega right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. I'm the friends part, and so are you. My name is Joey Kroll. It is so cool to be here, spending some time here with you. Don't forget, tomorrow morning on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, Mark will have Doug Carmel, who is part of Rock of Israel Ministry, rockofisrael.org. So that's going to be a pretty good program, and that's to give you a nice little taste of the event that's going to be happening tomorrow night, Taste of Israel Q&A, tomorrow night in Mahomet. So if you've ever considered or even thought about taking a trip to Israel, tomorrow is the night to be having that conversation as we prepare for our trip to Israel in 2013. You can get more information on that by calling us, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, friend, regardless, I pray that you enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Any plans this weekend, by the way? Yeah? We're headed to the circus. Yeah, the circus is in town, so we're pretty excited about that. And my understanding is Mark Burns is going to be coming to the circus. He's not going to be in the circus. I get that confused. Like, if he's going, is he going to be? I know he'll make a great clown. I don't know. But no, Mark and I, along with Pastor Jason as well, my family, we're going to go to the circus this weekend. So I pray if you can have some family time, be part of that. Or if you're looking for something fun to do other than the circus, you can check out our event calendar page at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Well, friend, as you go out, as you enjoy the remainder of your day and the remainder of our week, remember, friend, that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your day.